Okay, so we're coming towards the end of Tur Yud Aleph. Okay, so we'll either finish it today or next week. With Hashem, we'll start the next piece soon. I guess it depends how long the intro is, you know. We'll see. Okay, so Nachmal. So Nachman is telling, it was talking about the sinning of the journey that a Yid has to go from a starting point, which is a basic Amuna, where all the Yid knows is Hashem's name, to the ultimate destination, which Rav Nachman identifies as Tfuna Satar La'amka, the depth of Torah, which, as we explained, is to know one's own name, and how, like we spoke about on Shabbos, how in the deepest layers of things, the Yid's name is Hashem's name. That's the depth of Torah. That's the depth of Torah. And so Rav Nachman explained that the journey in order to get there is that a person has to articulate learning. Torah has to be with dibur. It has to be articulated. The words of Torah have a koyach that's articulated, has a koyach to illuminate one's path, to allow oneself to discover the ways in which one can uncover the depth of Torah, which is the depth of one's own identity. And Rav Nachman explained to us that in order for Torah, even verbalized Torah, to illuminate, one has to develop in one's speech, in one's the Torah that one says, it has to be with a sense of kavod. That's what Rav Nachman was talking about, that kavod means two things. It means, on the one hand, a sense of deep humility. In other words, kavod, that it's Hashem's kavod and not mine. And also, kavod has to be molei vav, right? It has to be spelled with a vav, which means shmir sabris. So those two inyanim, shmir sabris and humility, you know, it's giving Hashem the kavod, and it's not about me, it's about Hashem. With shmir sabris, that's a sense of kavod, and that's in truth the kayach adibur. The ability to articulate requires those two ingredients. And then when the Torah is spoken with that sense of kavod, then the Torah, psach picha v'yir devaracha, then the words can illuminate one's path, and you can be able to, the Torah will guide you to its own depth, and in that place, the person will be able to sort of discover they'll find themselves with the Rabbanu Shel Olam. They'll find their sugya, their nakuda, their inyan. This whole thing, I mentioned this last time, it's mamish, these parshas, these inyanim, is mamish very strong with these parshas, right? The Klal Yisrael is in Mitzrayim, right? Mitzrayim is their goal is Eretz Yisrael. What's Eretz Yisrael? Eretz Yisrael is a place of Torah. Ein Torah k'Torah Eretz Yisrael. Avir d'Eretz Yisrael machkim. But so, what's unique about the Torah of Eretz Yisrael? What's unique about the Torah of Eretz Yisrael is that it's a Torah that's also the identity of each Jewish person's soul, right? And Eretz Yisrael means that you have your portion, you have your chelek. So Eretz Yisrael is a place of, it's called Eretz Yisrael, right? It's the land of the Jewish people, right? So Eretz Yisrael means us, but it's also the place of Torah. Ki mitzi and teitzah Torah d'var Hashem Mishalayim. Means the ultimate goal is Eretz Yisrael, which is to realize that Hashem sugi is us. And Torah is the Jew, and Jew is Torah. That's the ultimate goal, to know your name. And your name is Hashem's name. Like I mentioned on Shabbos, right? Everyone has, you know, a person's name, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and so on. But in Pnimius, your name is Hashem's name. Right, and that discovery comes in Eretz Yisrael. That's why, again, Sefer Yeshua, we had this, that the first city that Yeshua ben Nun conquers was Yerichai, and that came with no problem at all. The second city was the city of Ai, and that came with difficulty. They lost the initial battle, it came with a problem. So Yeshua ben Nun davens to Hashem. So the first tefillah, if you think about it, the first tefillah that was ever offered in terms of conquering Eretz Yisrael was this tefillah that Yeshua ben Nun offers after the loss of the battle of Ai. And what does he say? He says to Hashem, if we're not successful, matas l'shimcha gadol, what's going to be with your great name? In other words, as the Mefarshim explained, that if Klal Yisrael chas v'shalom lose, and we don't make it to Eretz Yisrael, then Hashem's name is lost. What do you mean Hashem's name is lost? Our name is lost. That's the secret of Eretz Yisrael. It's one and the same. That's the depth of Torah. The depth of Torah is that when you learn a sug, you're unpackaging your own neshama. That's the depth of Torah, and that's what Eretz Yisrael means. But so that's why. So Eretz Yisrael is the goal, which is the depth of Torah, that Torah and the Jew are one. Learning about Hashem, you want to get close to Hashem. Getting close to Hashem means discovering your own self. And the sugya that the Rabbanu Shalom is Isaac in is the sugya of Nishmas Yisrael. And that's why I spoke about this also by the Kiddush even on Shabbos, the story that I mentioned, that the deepest levels of Torah are Torahs that emanate from Avas Yisrael, Torahs that emanate from Hiskashras to Knesset Yisrael. I spoke with the Rambam and different things, but that's the goal. That's why, where did we start from? We started Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim was a place that all we knew was Hashem's name, right? That's the whole story of Golus, of Gulas Mitzrayim, the sixth parasha, right? Moshe's like, what's the name? I'm going to say, what's your name? It's Hashem's name. Like, but it's interesting because Hashem is focused, like, we're only thinking about Hashem's name, but Hashem is like, I don't care about my name. Eilish Mois B'nai Yisrael, this is the name of Klal Yisrael, you know, but the Jewish people are not, you know, in the beginning, we're just thinking about Hashem's name, but that's the beginning. But that's also why when we receive the Torah in Har Sinai, so now the journey, as I mentioned, the journey of Klal Yisrael in the Midbar is that inyan of the words of Torah being articulated with a sense of kavod. That's why in Mitzrayim, we know that according to the Svar Makdash, in Mitzrayim there was Golas Hadibur, the Dibur was, Klal Yisrael was missing the ability to speak. There was Golas Hadibur. That's what Chazal say in the Zohar Kaddish. That's when the beginning of Parshas Veira, Moshe keeps on saying, I can't talk. Klal Yisrael didn't listen to me. Parah's not going to listen to me. Dibur was in Golas. What does it mean, Dibur was in Golas? I can't talk. You know, it was this idea of words being said with kavod. Words, what does it mean, Dibur was in Golas? So, Ritzadik, the Svarim say, it means the ability of Dvarim hayoytzim in alev, nechnasim alev, of words impacting the listener to the point of where it grabs the person's heart, that was missing in Mitzrayim. Why? Because there was something damaged in that inning of kavod. When words are said with this infrastructure of kavod, then automatically the words are potent. There's a sense of that's we mentioned this. The Dvar Melech Shel Toin, the eating of Dibur, when Dibur is strong and redeemed and powerful, it's a power of Malchus. It's a quality of kingship of Malchus. It says in Pasuk, "With Dvar Melech Shel Toin, the king rules with his speech." So what the king says, that becomes the law. So that the eating of Dibur when it's working, when it's operational, when it's redeemed, that means Malchus, a healthy Malchus. That's why Malchus is always connected to these two qualities of kavod. Obviously, one of the basic halachas of a melech is melech biyafi of techazen einecha, that a melech has to be experienced with a sense of kavod, right? The halach is you can't see a melech in the merchatz, in the bathhouse. Yeah, a melech demands kavod, and a melech also demands a high level of yichus, which is shmiras habris. Melech, the greatest miuchasim, the greatest, like the lineage, you know, that's the most protected and pristine, is malchus based David. That's the most, even kahanim, which is the name of yichus, but there's a lot of kahanim. But that particular family of malchus based David, in Chazal, that's always considered to be the greatest miuchas is a ben melech. So the name of malchus is a combination of kavod, of honor, and we understand that true kavod is Hashem's kavod. So the kavod of a melech is because he's just channeling Hashem's kavod. So malchus means kavod with yichus, with shmir sabris. That's kavod with a vav, and that's dibur. When a person, when there's a sense of kavod like that, then dibur is powerful. But dvar melech shel toin, the king says, and it becomes the law, and then dibur is able to be potent. That's what, you know. I meant, according to Chazal, there was a code, right? So everyone knows that Serach Bas Asher, you know, it was a tradition that Yosef Atzadik said, whoever the Redeemer is going to say Pakeh Pakadati, and that's going to be the code. If he says Pakeh Pakadati, that Hashem has remembered you, that's the redemption. So what's the question? Everyone knew it. What type of code, right? Everyone knows the secret knock. It's not a secret anymore, right? So it's Pakeh Pakadati. So that's where Safik answers like this. It doesn't mean, obviously, anyone can say the words Paka Bekadati. But if the word, when the Redeemer says Paka Bekadati, then anyone that hears that feels in their kishkes that Hashem has remembered them. And that's called a Dibur redeemed. When Dibur's in Golas, it means of course you can talk. But the Dibur doesn't have the impact. It doesn't bring a reality to the heart. It's not Yoitzim in Alev and Nechnosim in Alev. So the Golas Mitzrayim was a Golas of Dibur. Dibur wasn't, that's why the first person to say words that actually had an impact was Moshe Rabbeinu. When he said, Pakad Bekadati, then everyone felt that Hashem remembered them, that's the simon of redemption. That is redemption, because now the Dibur is in Golas. Because that's the long story over here. Mitzrayim, redemption from Mitzrayim means we have the ability to talk. We have Dibur, we have Kavod. That's why who redeems us? Moshe, right? And Moshe connects to who? I mean, you know, Aaron as well, but he connects to Yosef, right? V'yikach Moshe, es atzmas Yosef imay. Moshe is humility, which means Hashem's kavod. That's why Moshe was the first king. Moshe had a status of a king. So Moshe Rabbeinu represents the inyan of Hashem's of kavod, of Hashem's honor, which demands a selflessness, because you're giving Hashem the kavod, which is what a melech really is. The Gemara says in Brachas, Kivin Shakar, that a king, when he bows down to Shemon Esrei, Baruch Atah, he remains like that the rest of Shemon Esrei. Because in order for a king to embody Hashem's kavod, he himself has to be completely empty of kavod. So Moshe Rabbeinu represents kavod, and Yosef obviously is Kedushas Abris, Shemiras Abris, that's the Vav. So you have Moshe and Yosef, so now you have the ability to articulate in a real way of Malchus, of B'dvar Melech Shaltoin, Dvar HaYoytzim in Alev, Nechnasim Alev, and now you have Dibur. And now that you have Dibur, so now you can come to Har Sinai and receive the Torah, and now you can articulate with the Koyach of Dibur that you have from Mitzrayim, the Torah that you received in Har Sinai, and now you can travel to Eretz Yisrael to find your Inyan. And so that's the model that's going on over here. That's why it's not a coincidence that during these weeks of the Avoid, during Shavim, right? The Avoid is Kedushas Abris, Shemiras Abris, because it's related to Kriyas HaTorah, right? That's what I spoke about by Shal Shudis also, is that the during these weeks when we lane about Yetzias Mitzrayim, so it's a big inyan to work on Shemiras Abris. So you see such a thing over there is that Shemiras Abris and words being said, which is Kriyas HaTorah, are coming together. They're coming together. When the Rambam in Hilchas Tefillah, when the Rambam talks about the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah, the institution of Kriyas HaTorah, the Rambam's language is that Moshe Rabbeinu was Mesakein, that we should hear Kriyas, that we should hear the words of Torah. You want to give me, is it a Rambam Ahava? Something like that. This is Lashon. The next, maybe I have all the Ahavas in my office. Huh? Yeah. That's what he talks about, davening, Krishna, Rachas, Shkai. So Mepharshim, yes, because the Gemara says in Bava Kamma on Pei Beis, where it talks about Brichas Kahanim, Kriyas HaTorah. So the Gemara just says a lashon that the Nevi'im amongst the Jewish people instituted Kriyas HaTorah. The Rambam changes the language a little bit. Rambam says, Moshe Rabbeinu, it's a Parakut base. Moshe Rabbeinu tikkun, Moshe Rabbeinu instituted. Right? The Gemara says, the Nevi'im in Klal Yisrael instituted. The Rambam says it was Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu tikkun, shiukur b'tor b'rabim b'shabbos v'sheinu b'chamish b'shachris, that we should lay on Shabbos, Monday and Thursday. Kidei shelo yishu shloisha yomim, that we shouldn't go by 3 days, b'lo shmias ha-Torah, without hearing Torah. It's interesting. So the Rambam describes Kriyas HaTorah. Obviously, it means Kriyas HaTorah means someone's reading, right? But the Rambam, should say, like, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want us to go 3 days without Kriyas HaTorah. No. Moshe Rabbeinu instituted Kriyas HaTorah, in order that we shouldn't go 3 days without hearing Torah. It's a hearing Torah. So to hear Torah means not just time to hear, right? Hearing Torah means that it should penetrate. It should penetrate. It means the meaning of Kriyas HaTorah is Dvarim HaYoytzim Min HaLev, Nichnasim El HaLev. So, which is the meaning of Malchus, of the Dvar Melch Shel Toin, that the king rules with his speech. But in order for that to be impactful, it has to be with a Vav, it has to be with Shmiras HaBris. So when you have Kriyas HaTorah, so that's why when you have Kriyas HaTorah, which is an inyan of Dibur, of Dvarim HaYoytzim of Nichnasim El HaLev, which is the meaning of Malchus, the king rules with his speech, which is giving Hashem the covet. Hashem is the king and not us. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu, he highlights it as Moshe, because Moshe is humility. Moshe is the koich of covet. So Moshe Rabbeinu institutes that we should have Kriyas HaTorah in order that we should be able to hear it, that the Torah should, that we should be able to absorb words of Torah. So that requires also an inyan of Shmiras HaBris. So when you have Kriyas HaTorah during these weeks about Yetzias Mitzrayim, so Mom is shining the inyan of Dibur, that's Yoytzim Levi Nechnasim Levi, which is the inyan of Shmiras HaBris. Okay, Al Kapanim, that's the mal. Okay, so let's continue on. All right, so towards the end of the piece, V'zeh Shom Rav Baruch Hanis, so you see page Tesvav. So so the end of this piece, he quotes, as he's been doing until now, a story of Rav Baruch Hanis, and he explains the Torah in this context. All these Gemaras are so mysterious in the way, even after Rav Nachum explains it, it's still a mystery. You know, it's like, I'll tell you something. I mention this all the time. The Kutum Aran I find so difficult, and I committed myself to give these shiurim a couple years ago to force myself to learn the Kutum Aran and to try to force Hashem Kiviyachol to give me a little siyat d'shmaya to understand it, because otherwise, what am I going to do up here? So, but it's very difficult, you know. My personal intia is that I'm much more comfortable understanding, like, the general idea and being fuzzy on the details. But with Lakutim Aran, it's kind of the opposite. Like, you get the details, but the general idea is very fuzzy. So it's very, it can be uncomfortable, but it's good. I guess the general idea is gashus to Rav Nachum. That's the general, I guess. So as you have to say. Okay, so let's see what he says. V'zeh Shom Rav Baruch Hanis. So this is what Rav Baruch Hanis said. So again, the Gemara in Bava Basra, the following story. Zimne Chada. By the way, what's this inyan of taking a Torah and connecting it to a story? Like, what's the story? I mean, there'll be some details that maybe the story will highlight that the Torah didn't say, but what's this inyan? Like, why can Rav Baruch Hanis just say the Torah? Or do you have to say it in the Maisa? So again, you know, it's just, this is just on the side. Rav Nachman, other places, talks about this idea, is that every Torah is sort of a refuah. Every Torah can illuminate the neshama, can be mechayim esam, can bring a yid closer to Hashem. But sometimes, you know, sometimes a yid is maybe so far that they can't even hear the words of Torah, right? So a person's, let's say, so sick or they can't even take the medicine. So what are you supposed to do then? So Rav Nachman said, then there's an etza of taking the Torah and packaging it in a story. Everyone's going to be okay with hearing a story. No one's going to fight against that. You tell someone, I want to tell you a verse, I don't have time. Tell you a story, it's not so, you know, you have time for a story. So when you have a story and the story contains the Torah, then it's able to be digested and then it does its thing, under the radar, subconsciously. So it's part of the avodah. These Torahs being contained in these stories of Rav Baruch Hanis. So v'zeshon Rav Baruch Hanis. So this is what Rav Baruch Hanis said. Zim nechada. One time, Rav Baruch Hanis says, havazlina besvinta. I was going in a boat. V'chazoi lai tzifrata, and we saw this bird. Davikoi ad krasule b'maya. This bird, its feet was in the water. The water was until its ankles, whatever, you know, the lower part of its feet. The reisha birakia, and its head was in the sky. The amrinon, and we said to ourselves, less maya, it must be not such deep waters. If it only gets to the ankles of the bird, the feet of the birds, then it must be not such deep waters. Ubin lamechas lekur nafshin. So we decided, in that case, we'll go off the boat, we'll go into the water to cool ourselves off, to take a little swim. Nafik Braskola, a Baskel came out of Amar Loin and said to us, Loit Tuchusul Hacha, don't go here. You know, as the waters are very deep. The Nafalei, how do you know this so deep? The Nafalei Chatzina Levar Nagra Hacha, because a Chatzina, like a hammer or something, like a utensil of a carpenter, fell in this area, in these waters, Hashevishnin, for 7 years ago, V'loi Matilara, and it still hasn't gotten to the bottom. Says the Gemara, V'loi Mishon D'Nefishamai, you should know, not only because the waters are very deep, El Mishon D'Redifamai, because the waters are also moving, they're churning, so they're circling, so it's also taking a long time for the thing to get to the bottom, for the depth, and also because it's not it's the water, the currents underneath is making the thing move around a lot. So if the waters are extremely deep, then this bird, that all these waters are only until its feet, so this must be a very, very big bird. Ravashi said, "Hai ziz sadai taka." It's a big bird. This is the ziz sadai, the bird that's called ziz sadai. D'chsev ziz sadai imadi, says Hashem. That there's such a thing. There's like, you know, you have the leviathan, this big fish, sharabor, this big ox, and ziz sadai, this big bird, and this is the bird that Rav Ruchan saw. Okay, nice. Pile point. Okay, so let's see how he teaches it. So he teaches it in the Torah that we just learned. So he says like this, Tzvirta, this bird, so the scene is that this bird is sort of between heaven and earth, right? So its feet are in the water, right? Very deep waters, but its feet is in the water, and its head is in Shemayim. So the bird is like connecting the two, bridging the gap, giving a path from below to above. So he says, Tzvirta, this bird, Zebuchin is Dibur. This is the Dibur, this is the Kaich of Dibur, of articulating Torah, to allow oneself to find a path to go from the beginning, from just being a small human being that just, you know, is trying to, you know, just trying to make it, all the way to the depth of Torah, to heaven, mamish, to find one's own chelek elokam imam mamish, to move from seeing oneself as just a tipa srucha, a piece of genetic material that's insignificant, to having a place in Shemayim. And that's the kaif, like Rav Nachman said, the dibur, to articulate words of Torah with kavod and so on. That's the vehicle, Shemir Sabriz, that's the vehicle to get there. That's what the bird represents. The bird represents the b'chinas ha-dibur, shu'em tsoi bein ha'adam, which is the amtsoi, the bridge between the human being, the human being who sees himself, the madrig of the human being that's just made from male and female waters, like just from genetic material. And I was like nothing, like small. That the only thing that's significant is Hashem's name, but you don't have a name because you're just the tipas rucha, like a piece of genetic material. That's the waters, right? And the bird is the kaich hadibur, to allow that human being to travel to a higher place and to realize that he's not just a tipus. Yeah, the external part of I am is a piece of genetic material, but I have a deeper name, and my name is Hashem's name. So the bird is the dibur that is in between the human being who's just waters, ubeinu shemayim shu b'chinas tvuna satayra, and shemayim, which is the depth of Tyra. How do I know that a bird is connected to speech? Kamuva, because Chazal say al mitzayra, that a mitzayra, in order by the tahara process of the mitzayra, should tzarch lavi shtei tziporim, right? Shtei tziporim, he has to bring two birds, right? Says the Gemara, the Medrash also, yavi pitataya v'icharpel pitataya. Let the one that comes, that makes a lot of noise, which is a bird, right, that chirps, and bring a kapara for the one that made too much noise. That was also said lashon hara. Right, so you see that a bird is the koyach of dibur. So that v'zeo dekoy al kris lebimai. That's the meaning that the bird's feet were all the way in the water. Kimach hashad dibur tzarch lahar lebekol mekaymish. Tzarch lasis shem tshuva. Since the path articulated Torah with kavod illuminates one's path to realize what they have to work on to discover their inner name, discover the depth of Torah. So sometimes that inyan will uncover stuff that maybe is a little bit uncomfortable. So the feet of the bird gets to the depth of the waters. In other words, there's an avoid of the discovering your inner name very often comes with, you know, really unpackaging the part of you that's just genetic material. Because you gotta be honest with oneself in order to get to that emes lamita, right? So it's like the deeper essence of Torah. Torah is emes. What does it mean the depth of Torah? Is the emes lamitai of Torah. That's where in Breslov, by Reb Nachman, you find this, that other svarim, you don't have this term used as much, but Reb Nachman, Reb Nassim, Lekutei Halacha, very often uses this term of emes lamitai, truth of truths. What is emes? What do you mean? Like, it's a false or a lie. No, there's something that's called emes lamitai. Because emes is, you're a tipas rucha, you're a piece of genetic material, you're a nobody, and the only thing that matters is Hashem. That's emes. But emes lamitai is that you have a deeper identity, and your identity is Hashem's name also. But in order to get to emes lamitai, you got to be emistic first, right? So it's like, sometimes it requires, to discover that pnimius of who the person is, it requires discovering some of the flaws and the smallness of the waters. So as he says, so the feet of the bird is in the waters, because in order for the words of Torah to illuminate one's path, that requires very often for the waters to be acknowledged and worked through. So he says, so and again, kimacha shadibur tzarch laharloi, since the dibur, which is the bird, has to illuminate b'kol mekaymus, all the different places, shetzarch lasis shem tshuva, that the person has to work through, hulu pa'amim b'bechinas v'tagal margolais v'tishko. So sometimes it has this, there's this phenomenon, like it says in Megillus Rus, that she uncovered his feet and they were able to, and they were together, Vatishkov, and she slept there. So Vatagal Margolaisov, Shadibur Tzarch Lahar Ba'adam, Shulamatav Madrega Pchusa. The Dibra has to illuminate the person who's still holding in a low place. It has to be like, it has to be, the feet have to, of the bird have to get into the waters. You can't just, you have to go through that sort of process of being honest with one's own waters to then eventually get to the emes lamitai. Val Kain, again, that's why, you know, it's hinted to this pasuk with Rus, because, again, Rus means the beginning of Malchus based David, which is, again, Malchus. That's the irony. Like, this is the moment of where it looks like, the yichus of Malchus based David is being established right now with Rus. So it's like the meaning of Kavod with Shmir Sabris. That's what's happening, right? That even though she uncovered his feet, then she's sitting right there. There was Shmir Sabris over there, right? They weren't together and so on. So that's the ending of Kedush Sabris, that was Dafke at that moment, establishing the Malchus. So Val Kinikra, next page. Val Kinikra Hadibur Tzfirta. Again, that's why Dibur is called the bird. Dekoy Arkut Salavi Maya, whose feet is all the way in the waters. Maya, the water, who Bechinas Adam, water corresponds to the person. Again, on a lower level, the beginning, that comes, that's made of male and female waters, right? And again, speech, which is this bird, is up to its feet in the water. Is submerged in that person who's holding by a low madrega in order to illuminate the person's life. That his feet should be uncovered. And from acknowledging v'chulu and trying to illuminate one's path, even in a place of p'chisus and kadnus, to do tshuva properly and to become an honest and real person. So from there, malchus will be discovered. That's David HaMelech. V'zeu, yeah. With Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeah, very good, right, very good. That's the prayer, right, very good, right. So Moshe Rabbeinu, again, that's all, Moshe with, the bris mila means Yosef, right, obviously that's what you're saying, Moshe and Yosef are together, and Tzipora, which is the bird, is the kayach of doing that, right? Right, very good, very good.
Thinking of Midian.
Yeah, we're going to get to that after Shachas. No, it's similar. He also takes off his shoes. I mean, with the feet. Yeah. Very good. Yeah. Fine. Yeah, there's a lot to talk about. So that's what he says. The bird is submerged. Its feet is submerged in the water. I mean, so he said, okay. So fine. So that's the. And then what happens? So then Rabbi Bachana says, okay, less Maya, there must not be so much water here, because if the bird, if the bird's feeder is submerged, so it can't be so deep. So what does this mean in this context? So he said, less maya. In other words, haynu shevinu, we understood, shiev sheliskas ledibur. In other words, now we're going to the next point. How does one make sure that one's dibur of Torah is luminescent? Is if it's with a sense of kavod, right? Like we said before, which means humility and bittul. So it's Hashem's kavod and shmir sabris, right? That's the whole thing. So now Rabbi Baruch Hanan is articulating that point. Haynu shevinu, we understood shiev sheliskas ledibur, that it's impossible to be zeichet to dibur. Elade covered b'shleimus, unless covered is b'shleimus. She ha'odam be'ein of efes v'ayin, where the and one of the most important ingredients of covered, which is Hashem's covered, is that you yourself are mamish nothing. V'zeu less maya, meaning she'odam yachzik atzmi l'ayin. Again, mayim over here represented the person. Less maya means that said Rabbi Bechana. So our avodah right now is to make sure that the dibur, which is the bird, illuminates our path. In order for it to illuminate our path, it has to be the sense of kavod. Kavod means I'm nothing. So that's the avoda right now, said Rabbi Chana, less maya. Ubina lanachusa. And then they say, so we want to go down, in other words, off the boat, to cool ourselves off, right? So ubina lanachusa, we want to go down, in other words, loshen shiflus. That means, again, less maya. Our avoda is to make ourselves nothing. So what are we going to do? So we're going to go down. We're going to remind ourselves of how low we are and how insignificant. We're making ourselves nothing. To become humble, right? That's the avoda. Ach, so now he says, and will zach. Ach, shahoyila kuri nafshin. But here was the problem. Said Rabbi Rechana, that it wasn't 100% l'shem shemayim. It wasn't emes lamitai. Because we were making ourselves humble, la kuri nafshin. What does la kuri nafshin mean? So simple means to cool ourselves off. But la kure comes from the word yakar, which means precious. So we're making ourselves humble, but the truth is la kuri nafshin, which is just to make ourselves more bakavadik. Because like, oh, it's a big deal to be an anav. Right? So it's like, yes. So he says, because again, that's the nekuda. In order to get to emes lamitai, which is the ultimate depth of Torah, then the avoid has to be emes lamitai. So it's, you know, it's even the avoid of putting yourself to the side, and it's only Hashem's kavod, has to be emes lamitai. And over here, the problem, says Rabbi Chana, is that we were going to go down, but it was like kuri nafshin, is to make ourselves more bakavadik, really. So he says, Loshen oiker enosh mipaz, that a human being is more precious than pearls. So oiker means preciousness. Hainu. Shahi hainov b'shvil gadlus. He says, this is the problem, that we were trying to be humble, but it was because of ultimately getting to gadlus. Kedei l'skabid l'syak, in order that we should be honored. And that's the opposite, right? Since we know how terrible it is to be a balgaiva, and how amazing it is to be an anav, al kein em anav. That's why we want to be a humble person. That's not the truth. That's anivus, which is ultimately the tachlis. That's the highest level of gadlus, really. That's, you know, I mentioned this before. The Kamarna says that's the site of Baal Par. Right, the avodah zarah Baal Par. What's Baal Par? That the way that you give kavod to this idol is by being mevazet, by cleaning yourself with it and being mevazet. Right? What type of avodah zarah is that? So the Kamarna says that's another psula. That's look how great I am. Look how, because I'm so humble. Right? So it's like the greatness of Baal Par. The Baal Par's kavod is that it's mevazet stuff. So he says that the Kamarna says that's the only one that can sort of fight against that. Is the one that's the truly humble person, which is Moshe Rabbeinu. That's Moshe Rabbeinu is the one that's opposite Baal Par. Because, you know, to uproot that avodah zarah, that requires to an avodah of mamish being nothing, not even with any cheshbonus of like, it's amazing to be nothing, like just pasha nothing. That's a Moshe Rabbeinu level. Vizel, that's what's going on over here. Being on the nechuse. So we wanted to make ourselves humble, to work on this avoid of less maya, of being nothing. Liyashfalim v'anovim, lakuri nafshin, but really, in truth, it was kadesh l'ideza niya yikarim v'chashuvim. It was only for us to become more chashuv. Ki ha'gaivim v'vuzmud, because we know gaiv is terrible, so it's like, you know. The same thing we have this with Avos Yisrael also. It's a big yisai from Baal Shem. You know, we mentioned this many times, that humility and Avos Yisrael are related to each other. It's such a thing. The more a person holds themselves as nothing, the more automatically you see other yidden as special. It's, they work in tandem. The more Baal Gaiva a person is, the less Avas Yisrael they have. The more humble, the more Avas Yisrael. That's the way it goes. So just like with Anava, there's an inyan of there's being humble, but then there's Emes Lamita, being humble not because of it's a Gevalda Gezach. So the same thing with Avas Yisrael. There's something as like loving a Yid because it's a Gevalda Gezach to love Yid, right? That's good. That's Halavai by everybody, such a Madrega. But it's not Emes Lamita either, you know? It's not Emes Lamita either. The Baal Shem Tov was very machbit on this, that a person should be Avas Yisrael, the Emes, because you love Yid, not because it's an avoid of Avas Yisrael. It could be that's the way that motivates a person and so on, but the ultimate goal is that it should be Emes Lamita. Again, that's they just like Anova has this, you know, this Baal Par Klipa, so Avas Yisrael also has has that quality as well. So Nafik Bas Kol of Omar. So then the Bas Kol comes out and says to us, Loi Techus L'Acha, don't come here. In other words, if you want to truly be Ayin, then you can't come to the Avodah of humility in order to be humble. Like it doesn't work like that. Loi Techus Li Yishfolim B'Shvil Zeh. Don't come to this Avodah of becoming low for this reason, B'Shvil Akar Navshin, to make yourselves great. That's counterproductive. Shehez Hiru Basko, the Basko warned them, Shaloyu Anovim Bishvil Lisyakur Liskabi, don't become humble in order that you should have covet and you should become great. Kizah Anivas Utachas Agadlas, it's the opposite. It doesn't work like that. So now, and then the Basko says, because a thing from a carpenter fell in 7 years and so on. So Rav Nachman explains that next sentence is the Basko explaining to Rav Barchana how damaging Gaiva is, and through appreciating how damaging Gaiva is, the more you'll be drawn to humility for humility's sake, not because it makes a person more bakovedic. This is what he's about to explain. I guess we'll start it. Well, I'm not going to have that much time to finish it, but next week we'll finish the piece. But he says, so again, D'nafla chatzin levar nagra, Hashavishnin, Vloimati Lara, right? This again, the simple taich is that like a utensil, a hammer or something, fell from a carpenter and 7 years ago and it hasn't yet reached the ground, right? So in other words, like this, Shabaskol Hidilahem, the Baskol was letting them know, Shurish Hagadlus, where real godless, like, where does it come from? In order they should stay away from it as much as possible, to the farthest extreme. Now, godless over here means in a negative way, gaiva. And they shouldn't come here. And I'll show you anovim b'shvil godless. That's what Chazal say. Ma'oid ma'oid havishval ruach. Right? What's ma'oid ma'oid? It means emes lamita. Ma'oid ma'oid havishval ruach. There's such a thing as being a shval ruach because it's kvar d'gzach to be a shval ruach. No. Ma'oid ma'oid havishval ruach means be humble because that's who you are. So. And later on in the piece, towards the end of the story, we'll see the eights about how to do this. But we'll just begin. Hainu shadilahem. So what the Baskel was telling them is shagadlus hum nefilas hatiferes v'agayva shakadosh baruch hu, that any level of gaiva that a person has in this world, even if it's a very subtle thing, is taking away from Hashem's honor and glory. It's one of the two. Either Hashem is being praised and highlighted and put on a pedestal, so to speak, or it's a person. So any level of gaiva that a person has is taking away from gavos shel Kadosh Baruch Hu, from the greatness, the stature of Hashem. And he explains, we're not going to understand too much of this now, but maybe next week we'll have siyata shmaya. So he says like this. Nachmal, Hainu Shadolahem, but Shadilahem, the Baskel was letting them know, Shagadlus hum nefilas hatiferes vagaiva shel Kadosh Baruch Hu, that any gaiva is really a fallen, like unholy imitation of the true glory and gaiva of the Rabbanu Shel Olam, Shehu Levushai, which is described as Hashem's clothing, K'may Shekasev Hashem Melech Geus Lavesh. Hashem Malach Geis Lavesh, right? Hashem is the king, and he clothes himself with gaiva, with greatness. So really, gaiva is supposed to be the levush of Hashem, and any time a person wears that clothing, it's like then to that degree, Hashem's not able to wear that clothing. That the Chazal also described that the Beis Hamikdash is Kiviyachol Hashem's clothing. That's why the halacha is on Tisha B'Av, we don't wear a talis on Shacharis, right? Why? Because the Gemara says, Chazal say that the talis is like corresponding to Hashem's clothing, which is the Beis Hamikdash. You know the Beis Hamikdash, so you don't wear your talis, right? So it's like this. So that's what the Baska is going to be describing over here also, is like any level of Gaiva, it's like that means that you're holding Hashem back from having his Beis Hamikdash. So the more... Now this is a very interesting strategy of, we'll speak about this next time, we're not going to have time right now, of bringing a Yid to that place of true humility by reminding them that whatever degree of gaiva a person has is holding back Beis HaMikdash, is holding back redemption. And somehow that speaks to the kishkas of a Yid and gets them to be, okay, you know what, I'm going to do this Emes L'Amitah. So it's like you could talk about Olam Haba. Like the Basco could have said many things about how terrible Gaiva is. You know, the Gehenims that you get from Gaiva and this and that and that. But all that stuff is not really stirring the essence. What stirs the essence is to hear that L'maisa, the more godless I'm looking for myself, the more the Rabbanu Shalom is not going to have a Beis HaMikdash and the farther away Gula is going to be. And that speaks to a Yid. Okay, Bez Hashem, we'll speak about this more next time. Okay, Bez Hashem, next week we'll finish the Torah. All right, Shkai.